All right, Mike, you want to kick us off? You're first to chime in.
No worries. When we talked the other day, I was late on the East Coast, so I did send out about 6 texts.
Okay.
Trying to get back with get some people to kind of respond back to the text.
Yeah.
I did have one guy respond back saying that, you know, they're out for the day, but he'd get a hold of me this week, wanted to talk.
Okay.
Today I went online, just went through Craigslist and grabbed some of the numbers off of the buyers that were on there, and I actually spoke with one gal that is definitely in the market. And
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying okay.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, she's a licensed real estate agent, but her and her husband are doing fix and flips.
Okay.
On the side, and she said they're going to do 10 to 12 deals a year, so about one a month.
Okay.
And
did you get the zip codes they're buying in?
Yeah, she was right in the ones that I'm working in.
Nice.
So she's definitely said they're interested in anything that they can. They want to be able to turn a $20,000 to $30,000 profit on their fixer flips.
Okay. Yeah, so how do they run their numbers? 20 to 30,
She just gave me that as a number. I tried to get her to let me know what she was thinking or what kind of, and she's working off ARV or what she's working. But she gave me some information, but she was holding back a little bit, I'm sure, until she develops a relationship.
You can make some assumptions on a fix and flip. So do you know if they're using their own cash or borrowed money to do them?
She said she has funding in place. It sounds to me like they're borrowing.
So
they got some hard money lenders.
That's exactly
in line.
Okay. So assume 12%, no points, kind of middle of the road. Hard money oftentimes is, 14 and a couple or 12 and a couple. But okay. I usually assume 12. And just run the math, and the FreedomSoft deal analyzers will tell you exactly what's going on. So what kind of rehabs do they do? I'm assuming cosmetic, where they don't do additions or scrapes.
She said that they would, because I asked her what they were looking for, and she said they usually are looking for like 3-2s, but they will take some 3-1s that have enough square footage to add. So
they're not
trying
doing
to stay within the, within the,
that's all you needed to know.
Framework, yeah.
So they're doing cosmetic remodels, which are 30 to 60 day projects. So you can use the FreedomSoft deal analyzers. There are videos in the classroom. There's a video I think it's called Analyze Like a Pro, and it'll show you how to use both. And you can use the fix and flip analyzer. And so here's the deal: when you get a deal, you can plug it in and run their numbers. And as long as at the bottom it says net profit 20 to 30 grand, you can call them up and say, "Hey, I got a deal for you." And I ran the numbers on it, and here's what they look like. I assume 12%. I don't know exactly what your funding terms are, but bam, 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 right on down the list. You told me you do cosmetic rehabs. I'm guessing your construction times are 30 to 60 days, something like that, right? So you can run 12% financing, run 90 to 120-day projects, typically on a cosmetic remodel. You can fix, if they're dialed, they can fix them up in probably 45 days, even if they're out of the bathroom.
Okay.
60 days tops, so that puts you into that. Once you get it listed, find a buyer, get it to the closing, you probably run 90 days would be quick. I'd probably go with 120 to be conservative. And you can run numbers exactly the way they do.
Okay.
Which is perfect. They confirm that they're buying right in the areas where you were already generating leads.
Yeah.
Did I hear you say that?
Yep, she did. She was a little reluctant to spit out all of her zip codes, but the 3 that she spit out are the ones that we're working in. So
perfect.
She asked me how we generated our leads and stuff like that, and I just told her traditional methods.
That is exactly the answer.
So
I don't tell anybody, and I know I've said it on here before, I don't tell anybody what we do. And most people ask, and I say, we do the usual stuff, some direct mail, that kind of thing, some online marketing.
Yeah.
I'd say we're just really consistent at it. That's all.
Yeah.
That's it.
It was good.
Nobody's
good
dug beyond that. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
So now, have 10 more of those.
Yeah.
At least five. But you've got – so keep your bird dogs going where they're at, because now you just confirmed from a buyer they're in the right place. And this is a buyer that's, do you know, about to do one a month. Did you ask how many they bought in 2017?
I did not ask that, no.
Okay.
They're just – her and her husband are just – trying to get this going on their own. Sounds like they've done some. She's looking for another rehab to start pretty quick. She was like, "Do you have anything working right now?" And I said, "You know, we're working on some leads, but I'll let you know as soon as I have some information on something."
So that's a decent buyer. What you want to find, you want to find a couple that bought. That are just saying that we want to buy 10 to 12, but they did at least that in 2017.
Yeah.
Ideally, you want to find somebody that bought north of 25. You know, you're going to bump into buyers that bought more than 100 in 2017. So you're starting to sort. These are kind of middle of the pack. They have some of their ducks in a row. Sounds like they have financing, husband and wife team working together. She's licensed. So they know at least a thing or two about real estate. She knows that she's got to perform on contracts, that deals have to get funded. All that stuff is going to be old hat to her, right, because she's a real estate agent. That's just going to be business as usual. So those are some really good signs. I put them, you know, kind of middle-of-the-pack buyer until they prove, right? They may prove otherwise and buy a couple deals from you this year, which would be great.
Yeah, you bet.
Look for a couple, and you see how easy the conversations go.
Yeah.
Stay on the phone until you have 3 to 5 that are buying at least one, preferably multiple on a monthly basis. And that'll be a good little start to your buyer's list. Obviously, it's going to continue to grow over time, but good stuff.
Yep, it was good conversations today.
And here's the thing. You have bird dogs where you have to manage them, right? But you're not doing the driving, so that's leveraged. You have a VA that'll skip trace, and if you don't, right, these are the pieces that are coming into play. The VA is going to do the skip tracing for you. That's leveraged. For those of you who choose to bring on a salesperson that's going to be making the phone calls, that's leveraged. And when you're there, you can absolutely spend your days meeting buyers, building relationship out there, just meeting people and, you know, getting that dispositions position set up. But with you running it now and just meeting what's going to be the, you know, your first buyers and the start of your buyers list. Because remember, your buyers list is more than, yes, it's about turning a deal and getting paid, but private lenders are going to come out of your buyers list. Future partnerships can come out of your buyers list. You just never know. That's really your network, kind of your audience. You always want that growing. Always, always, always. And so that is great. Use of time as you all being business owner to go build those relationships, right? We've all heard net worth equals network, and so your buyer's list is your network. So for that to be growing is, it's time well spent. While the other things, they're still being done, you're just not doing them, obviously.
Okay.
Just keeping an eye on them. So good stuff. Anything else, Mike?
No, I think I got to just stay on task.
That's it. Keep the leads coming in. Who else? I heard a few more dings on the way in.
Lee,
what's going on?
What's up, Mike? You doing all right?
Good, man. Happy New Year.
Yeah, likewise.
Thank you.
Pretty much where I'm at, I did everything we talked about Thursday.
Yep.
So now, I got my skip trace in place. He did the test for me. He skip traced 30 properties, so I hired him to skip trace the rest of them. I got about 290 leads from my bird dogs in New Orleans.
Okay.
And I got another like 275
Love
in
it.
Arkansas. So I got those, and I actually got my, like I said, my skip tracer set up right now. Skip tracing those. I gave them to the end of this week to have all those skip traced.
I love it.
Now I just got to get on the phone with the buyers, man. Like that's where I'm at.
That's exactly it. Yeah, are you going to be the one making calls out of the gate?
Yeah, I actually got a salesperson also. You know, very excited. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna actually get on the phone, and because I'm used to talking on the phone a lot because I actually been doing it a while in my market.
Yep.
And kind of let her, you know, hear how I talk to the people and things like that. And eventually, you know, bring her on in and actually see if she a good fit.
Did you give her a disc test or have her take it?
No, I haven't did that yet, so I need
Have her do that right now, and I'll tell you if she's a good fit. How about that? You just tell me what the results are, and I'm telling you, this isn't hard. If she's high D, she can sell. If she's high I, there's a good chance she can sell. My preference is still a high D in that seat. If she's high S or high C, she'll be miserable. That's my guess.
Got you. But, yeah, that's my thing. You know,
all right. So get her. Go online right now and Google search free disc test, DISC. It's spelled wrong, right, because it's an acronym.
Okay.
Grab the link and say, hey, every person we bring on the team goes through a disc test just so we know what kind of personality types we have. Sweet, right? Because it just works better that way. Say it'll only take you, 10 to 15 minutes. Fill it out and then email me back your results. Got to do it. Otherwise, you're spinning your wheels. Find a high D, preferably a high D. Like I said, high I's can sell as well, but you want a high D. And the reason why is a high D personality is going to be a driver. They're going to be a dominant personality, which is good in sales. We're not trying to take advantage of anybody, but they're not going to give up on the first no that somebody tells them or the first, if they start asking questions, whereas an S or a C will always want a part as friends, and they'll say, yeah, sounds like you're not really into selling right now, and they won't dig deeper, and it's just how they're wired. Now, those people, they're always outliers in everything in life, right? I'm speaking in generality. So there are S's and C's that can learn to sell, but it comes more naturally for the high D personality types. So if you want to play the percentages again, find a high D.
And I actually got a buddy. He used to do sales for DirecTV. So he's good at not taking no for an answer. Thing is, he's only off 2 days a week. So I didn't want to bring him in.
Here's the thing. It's hard for a two-day-a-week person to follow up, obviously. Will they get people on the first dial or the first time? They will. So if you want to have a conversation about maybe a part-time to start working some more hours, because somebody closing deals here can get paid. I don't know what he makes at DirecTV, but he can get paid way more working for you is my assumption, right? You keep the good leads coming in. So that could be, but I'm just telling you, it's tough for somebody at 2 days a week to have any success following up with people. So you'd have to have them working leads and another salesperson that has access to their leads so that they could step in and do some of the follow-up to be effective.
That makes sense.
Yep. You've got to give this gal a disc test. I'm telling you. It makes all the difference in the world. And you, as CEO of your company, you don't want to put people in a seat where they don't fit just because you know them, like them, trust them, whatever. You want, as you start to build this organization, we have to get – this has to be a system that all of you implement now so that as you make hires over the next 5, 10, 20 years, however long you go at this, this is the process. Hey, what is this person wired to do? Okay, let's put them in a seat that makes sense. And some of you – have probably read Good to Great. Others of you have maybe heard of it. This guy, Jim Collins, wrote a book. And, right, the rock star companies did a couple things. One, they got the right people on the bus, which means they hired good folks. Number two, they got those people in the right seat on the bus, and that is personality related. Get people doing things they're naturally good at, things that they naturally like. They will naturally be more productive for you. They'll stay longer. You'll enjoy work more, and you can go on a good run. So it sounds like you know this person. There's a relationship there. I'm telling you, that's not a good enough reason to put them in a sales role.
Because
the personality.
When I first started in the company, like, he would actually give me tips. Like, hey, when you're talking to people, this is how you win them over. You know, if you can get them to agree with you, nine times out of ten. So he kind of because I wanted to talk in person. I hated to get on the phone and talk to people.
Even yeah.
I would say, yeah, that's how you talk to them. You do this, you do that. I guarantee you it'll work. So I kind of got a lot of my pointers from him. I got a lot
okay.
better. So, you know.
So I thought you were bringing a, I thought you were bringing a gal on in the sales role. Now you're talking about a guy.
Yeah,
Are these two different people or the same person?
No, this is different people. Like, you know, the girl, that's
okay.
the one who I initially spoke with, and she was.
Gotcha.
But I haven't gave her the test yet. But
okay.
she's ready to come in. She understands the 20%. We talked about all that. She's cool with it.
Okay.
But I have
okay.
to get her to give her the test first.
Yep,
so,
give her the test.
All right, that'll work, man.
Here's the thing: if you told her that it's commission only, and she's good with it, there's a chance she's a D anyway. Because people who aren't wired for it, they're going to want the security of a paycheck or of a guaranteed base or something along those lines. So, based on that feedback, and she said, "Yeah, I'm good with this pay structure," there's a good chance she's there anyway. I'm just saying, get in the habit of testing everybody that you're thinking about bringing on.
Okay.
What else? That's good stuff, man. You have 600-some leads.
My buyer.
No, almost 600 leads. You've got a skip tracer. You emailed me. So I sent Lee an email that said, hire a VA, because last week he told us that he was doing the skip tracing, and we said, no. Hire a VA that has LexisNexis or TLO. He shoots me back an email that says, hey, I found a VA with both, which is killer, because those are the top two systems out. So we've got that in place. We've got salesperson in place, and you have, what, 580 leads ready to skip trace?
Yeah.
And how many are skip trace currently?
The last
I know
time,
30.
Yeah, 30, and I hired him this morning. So
okay.
he had the 30 completed last night, and then I actually rehired him this morning to skip trace the rest.
So did you make calls to sellers today, or that starts tomorrow?
Actually, it's going to start when I get off the phone. I actually been busy this morning going to auctions in Dallas. So I'm actually get on the phone and call those 30 that he skipped.
I will be surprised if you're not making offers by Thursday, on Thursday's call this week. We would go back to the drawing board and say what happened. But you've got, assuming your bird dogs brought in vacants and assuming – your VA didn't lie to you, which I don't think he did, and he has TLO at Lexis, you're going to get a hold of sellers, and you're going to find people with motivation. Okay, I'm telling you guys, I just got a contract on a house today for $2,500. $2,500. We asked the lady, here was the question. What amount of money lets you sleep better at night with this thing just completely solved? And she goes, I owe a couple-year taxes, and I'm about to owe three, and $2,500 solves it. And we said a contract for $2,500 solves this problem so you can sleep at night. And she said, absolutely. $2,500. It rents for $7 to $7.50 a month.
Wow.
And it probably needs, I don't know, 10 to 15. Is that, that's mental. I mean, those numbers are just crazy. That's motivation. He goes, I can't sleep because I owe back taxes. I'm going to owe more this year. The calendar's about to roll over. Just get this thing out of my life, please. So it's out there. Motivation's out there. Zillow says it's worth $100,000. I don't believe that. I think that's off. But still, I verified with as soon as I had it under contract, I've got a property manager in the city, and I said, hey, check this address out for me. Zillow says it rents at $7.50 a month. Is that accurate? He goes, I have one three blocks away that's rented right now for $7.50 a month. Same size house.
Wow.
So, anyway, the motivation's there, and you're going to find it because you have vacant leads, and you've got a skip tracer with TLO and Lexis. So it's a matter of time. How many calls can you make tomorrow?
I can make probably as many as he completes them. I probably can make those calls.
Okay.
I don't have anything else to do. I'm sitting.
So it'll take you just my full time sales guy can do about 20 leads a day, 20 new leads a day. So if he's really clicking through them, and this isn't any follow up, but 200 leads, 150 to 200 leads will feed a full time salesperson. So for you to get through 15 to 25 tomorrow. You'd put in some hours to do it, but you'll come out of there with some great conversations and start talking offers with people.
Ooh.
So this is exciting, man. I get fired up for where you're at because you're sitting right there.
That's what I mean. I just need to get on the phone with those buyers, man.
That's
like,
it.
I got to get on the phone with those
sellers
buyers.
First. Sellers first.
Yeah.
And then go find
okay,
buyers. Here's the thing. Give this gal a disc test. If she checks out, get her some quick training and get her on the phone just looking for motivation. And if they are, set you up. And at the same time, you can be on the phone with buyers, building the buyers list, and you guys can be accomplishing both. But if it's just you on the phone, go to sellers. Let's get a deal or two under contract. That's where I want you to focus. Unless she's in play. If and when she's in play, guide her, have her run through the script, find motivated people, get you the details. She can set up a callback that you can make to present the offer. And while she's calling it on the phone, you can then be talking to buyers. Make sense?
Makes sense.
All right. Good stuff. Anything else?
That'll be it, Mike. I appreciate you.
Okay.
Larry Potts here.
Hey, Larry.
Janie's not here. She's gone to the grocery store, but we spent the afternoon with an acquisition specialist. He took the test, got an extremely high D, so she made me take the test, and I got an extremely high D, which I thought I'd rather be a turnip farmer, but that's a different story. But we sat down with the person, reviewed the software, reviewed the script, got that done. I couldn't keep up with him. He was learning the software quicker than I could blink my eyes, so I just got out of the way. And they worked between them. Ended up finding one of the R leads, just took a random one because we probably have 200 leads right now. Took a random one. He traced it, had about 8 phone numbers for the VA had put on it, traced it all over, ended up with a damn trust up in Delaware, routed to another bank, talked to there, sent us to there, and that one piece of property had been sold. But we looked at it and cross-referenced, and that person had bought 4 pieces of property in the last 5 months in that area. So instead of being able to buy the property that was vacant, prospective buyer, instead of being able to buy what he has. But he's looking to get it done.
Cool.
A couple of questions that had come up was making calls on Sunday, calling prospective owners on Sundays. What's your feel on that one?
Our guy does a little bit, and he's been on the phone for a lot of years. He likes some Sundays. He doesn't always. Sometimes it'll be a follow-up. Sometimes people will say, hey, call me back on Sunday afternoon. I have nothing going on. That kind of thing. So it can go either way. I'll tell you what he likes. He likes early mornings before work. Midday's pretty tough. The hours after work are good. Saturdays are definitely good. And Sundays here or there. But if you call as a friendly voice and somebody answers, you're not always offending people on a Sunday. It's really about how it's done and how it's presented. So he does do some Sunday calling.
That was kind of my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, some people, if they're business oriented, you know, they take the call in the middle of the night.
Put yourself in the homeowner's shoes and you have a problem property that is keeping you up at night and you can't figure out, holy cow, the calendar's going to turn, and I know I owe 2017 taxes. I didn't pay any of them. The debt's getting bigger. The problem's getting bigger. You don't care when somebody calls you, and there's a friendly, somebody that's legit and, you know, interested in helping you fix your problem. You don't care when that phone call comes in because that's a wanted phone call, right?
Yeah.
So,
that's Janie will be in a minute. She made a whole list of notes. I'll get off, and when she gets in the house, I'll let her chime back in a little bit.
Okay. Sounds good.
Let the intelligent end of this pair talk to you.
takes both to make it work, Larry.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. Who else? We'll talk to you again here in a bit.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, Mike? It's Ryan. Hey. Ryan, what's going on?
Oh, dude, was that Dennis in the background? He could go first if he'd like.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Right. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
I've been taking good notes this today, but so you say seller first. I've been kind of playing around with that, trying to get talk to more buyers. I talked to 5 buyers.
Yep.
I'm getting a lot of buyers formulas. I found a lot of landlord buyers, which is great.
That is, yep.
And then going with the 1% rule. So that makes sense in some cases because in some areas, but in some
what do you
areas,
mean 1% rule?
At, say it again.
What do you mean by 1% rule?
Oh, if the rent is $700, they'll pay $70K.
Gotcha. Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I got some buying formulas for a few people. The thing that's been kind of throwing me off a little bit is I have 4 contracts, and I've been trying to get those sold. So it's been
yep.
I get in a mode where I can only do one thing. So that's where the team.
So here's what I want you to do. First of all, you've been talking to buyers, which is great. I was talking to Lee specifically. He has just under 600 leads. Some of them skip traced, and he's about to bring on a salesperson. So what I was saying there is, go step on. He's got seller numbers that are ready to go. So if you have to pick one and you have leads in place, seller first. But here's what I want you to do. What you need going on, because you have 4 contracts, because you're already an investor moving, is you need bird dogs bringing in leads, a VA skip tracing them, and a salesperson calling them, generating more. And then you can be, in the time being, you can be oversee that, but be dispositions person, where you're doing what you're doing now, talking to buyers. But instead of having everything else shut down, everything else is still happening. It's just not you doing it, right?
Okay.
That's where we got to get.
Right.
So you're already moving and you're running dispositions anyway. You've got to get an ad posted. Let me start here. How many vacant leads do you have that have been? No what? Who was that?
I think that was something that happened in the background.
Yeah, it was. Hey, if we got to swear in the new year, that's fine. Hit *6 if you're off doing something else or in a side conversation for us. So we got to get all that stuff happening, just not you doing it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let me ask you, how many vacant leads do you currently have that Bird Dogs have brought in?
I still only have the 45 current leads.
Okay. So we have something there. We've got to make sure we have a bird dog or two. And if you don't have a bird dog yet that's going to cut it, get the ad refreshed or posted again and find somebody else. Okay? Do you have a
right.
VA with access to Lexus and or TLO?
Yes.
Okay. So that piece is in place. Step on the bird dogs. Tell somebody, hey, I need 100 this week. Can you make that happen for me, yes or no, and find the person that says yes? Tell the VA that's doing the skip tracing that you've got more coming, get them prepped, and then get an ad posted for a salesperson. And get that person on the phone. And when you find a high D, as Larry just said, training will go quick. What's the software we're using? FreedomSoft, great. Show them around a little bit. Here's your script. Here are your leads. They typically won't ask many other questions. How am I getting paid? What's the script? When do I start? They're just high D personalities aren't going to ask a ton of questions. They're going to say, give me the leads and cut me loose. And let's rock and roll. So when you have those pieces in play, now, obviously, you stay on dispositions, which is what you're doing anyway. but you've got all these other things on your behalf, and then they're going to start feeding the deals to you, and you can stay in the disposition seat for a little bit until you're ready to hire that spot out too.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I definitely need to get this ad going. I had three people that I was looking at, but they were possible. They didn't come in through an ad. They came in through a referral. So I'm going to put my ad out.
Yeah, put the ad out. And here's the thing. No matter how you find them, give them the disc test. That's the key piece to the whole thing. I mean, whether it's, you know, your neighbor's friend or it's somebody through Craigslist or Indeed or whatever, doesn't matter. Match the personality to the job. Not as important where they came from, right?
Yeah,
put a high D salesperson on the phone. What's that?
I'm going to give everyone the disc test.
You have to. And you, if you haven't taken it, you got to take it. All of you got to take it. You have to know what makes you tick. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Stay involved in your strengths. Hire out your weaknesses. Right? This isn't middle school where they say, okay, you're good at English, but you're not strong in math, so let's work on math. That's backwards thinking in business. In business, it's you align yourself with what you like and what you're good at and hire out your weaknesses. Don't work on them. You need to know a little bit about them, but you do not need to work on them. Hire somebody that's their strength. That's how you get where you want to go faster.
All right. Well, I definitely that makes sense. I'm ready. I got the leads ready, so I'm gonna get my bear dogs fired up.
Have to.
I'm gonna make some phone calls when we get off and get them numbers up because I'm trying to get the 250 within the next week because I'll be closing on two deals this in the next couple of weeks, and then I
love
got
it.
Two more that I was trying to get. So,
what are the two? What are the numbers on the two that you have teed up? Are they fix and flips or buy and hold deals for your end buyer?
Buy and holds.
Okay.
Buy and
what do they look like?
A lot faster.
What do you?
I got one.
What do you have them under contract for, and then what are you selling them for?
I got one under contract for 120.
Okay.
And I'm selling it for 125.
Okay.
And rents for 1300.
How much work does it need?
I got one. None. It's rent.
None.
Is the landlord? Is it maybe?
And
you know,
it
like
rents for 1300.
Right.
Hang on, I'm running a little
mad. Landlord.
Okay, go ahead.
The landlord has a couple of properties and just was trying to get rid of that one.
Gotcha. That's a solid price. So it's rent ready. Is it tenant occupied or it's vacant?
It's tenant occupied.
Okay. So it's got somebody in place at that $1,300 a month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nice. So let me $1,300 times. Let me run some math here. Watch this. So, and you've got earnest money, and what's the closing date? This thing's, you're just waiting on closing, right? Is that where it's at?
Right. Well, I got one I'm waiting on closing is the next one I'm waiting on closing. This one here, I got four buyers lined up for this one. And
okay, but nobody said I'll take it yet. Is that correct?
Right. Nobody said they'll take it.
Okay. What's the one that you have a buyer lined up for? What are the numbers on that one?
I got it for 65.
Okay.
And I'm selling it for 70.
And how much work does it need?
This one needs zero also. The person just got finished rehabbing it and putting a new roof on it and doing work in the kitchen.
Okay. And what does it rent for?
And they put so much money in it last year they want to get rid of it.
Okay. What does it rent for?
This one rents for 800.
So 800 times 70%, 560 times 12 is 6720. And I can, if I was the end buyer, I could buy it for right. I'd have it at 70 plus a couple grand in closing costs. So divided by 72,000, 9.3 cap, 9% rate of return. Not bad. It's all relative. I use 12% as my benchmark when running numbers, but it's whatever buyers want. That's why you want to ask. Here's the thing. The lower
market,
cap buyers you can find, the more money you can make because they can pay more.
In this market here, they're buying at 6 cap.
That's crazy. So you take those same numbers, 800 times 0.7 is 560 times 12, 6720 divided by 0.08. An 8 cap buyer would pay $84,000 for that place, and you're selling it at 70, which you're still making money. So it's a win, right, because you're getting paid. But, yeah, the lower the cap rate buyers you can find, better off you are. That's why I told the story on here a couple weeks ago. I met a guy who's – or I didn't meet him. I met an investor who knows – he sold some deals to a guy that – he's from Israel, and he buys properties here, like Midwest, East Coast, fixes them up, and he has 6 cap buyers back home. When the locals want a, you know, they want a 12 cap, he can sell it for twice as much money to somebody overseas.
Right.
The numbers are crazy.
The only one,
I mean,
I let this guy get it at 70. He's a real estate agent, and he's been, you know, running my numbers for me and going through doing all my property. So he get it at that. But if he didn't want it, it was going on the market for 70.
Gotcha. And what's the closing date on that one?
15.
Okay. Did you do an assignment or you're double closing it?
Assignment.
Okay, perfect. So you make an even 5.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Cool. That's it. That's why you meet buyers. I run my numbers at a 12, so I meet a buyer that'll take a 8, 10, a 6, 6, 8, 10 cap. I know we can just make more. Mm-hmm. So I feel like 12 is, you know, kind of maybe average, but a little on the conservative side. So I like to run numbers there. So, yeah, good stuff. Yeah, let's get those other pieces in place, and then you can keep your dispositions hat on and let the system start feeding more deals in your way. Obviously, you'll do some training. You'll do some oversight, right? Keep the team together. Make sure the leads are coming in. But, right, that's if the system in your business is you do everything, you don't have a business, you have a job, right? So we have to start now while we're building the foundation. We have to get these other pieces in play. So I want you to get those deals moved. But when you have time, more leads, sounds like the VA is ready to go, and get a job ad posted for a salesperson. Start talking to people.
All right.
Sound good?
Sounds good. Yeah.
Cool. Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
Okay.
Thanks.
Who else? Yep, who else?
It's Janie.
Oh, Janie, go ahead.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Is there a mobile app for FreedomSoft?
It is mobile, but not an app. So you can just go to, on phone or device, go to my.freedomsoft.com and log in, same username, password.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. That was it.
Okay. And then it was kind of a tie there. Who else chimed in with Janie?
That was Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
Let's see where I want to start. I got the Skip Tracer and everything. He's right now, he's been working on Skip Tracing a lot of, the absentee buyer leads just because I haven't had a ton of – I've had a lot of the vacant leads come in because I'm just switching out so many bird dogs because, you know, if I set you up and I see after a day you haven't went out when you told me you were, I'm just moving on. So
I love it. Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of been a carousel. I got probably about 2 or 3 more that I'm talking to tonight. I'm going to kind of see where they're headed. I'm going to take your advice and say that I need 100 by the, by Saturday night. You know, if they can't do that, then I'm gonna move on.
It's very doable.
Person.
It's very doable.
Right. I know it is. Yeah. I know it is. So, yeah, if I can't get that out of someone, then I'm I'm just moving on. So other than that, I found a great phone salesperson. I'm kind of happy that I kind of waited and talked to a couple more people. I talked with a guy today. He's been he has, you know, some background in real estate. He did some commercial real estate. And he, you know, he had his license at one point, so he understands real estate.
Love it.
And he said his passion is to be on the phone. He said he really loves like talking to people, and stuff like that. And I made him take a disc test. I made him take a disc test, and he was a high D and a high I.
Perfect.
Yeah. So
That's rare, right? It's too rare. We don't tell you to run an ad for a salesperson that has real estate experience because it'd be really hard to find somebody.
Right.
That's
exactly.
A person right there that with very little training can go get somebody on the phone and go right to offer.
Exactly.
And they'll know how to put the contract together. So just show them how to use FreedomSoft. And there's a training video that shows them how to use the doc generator in FreedomSoft. So that's somebody that easily within the week that they get on the phone can be going right to offer, right to contract, and just say, hey, I got, you know, I have one at 10 grand. Let's rock and roll.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's
cool.
Why I want to push so hard to get those leads in, because I'm going to talk
absolutely.
To them tonight and get them set up, let them, you know, get in the system, maybe watch a couple of those videos, kind of just get familiar with FreedomSoft and everything like that. But he's a systems guy, so I told him some of the, you know, capabilities of the system, and he's like super excited about it. He just likes being on the phone, so I want to get him started as soon as possible. You know, that's why I said I think it's really imperative that I get those leads in this week.
Absolutely.
This
is what we're talking about, good pressure. There's bad pressure in life and business, and there's good pressure. And what you just did is, he found a rock star phone salesperson. He needs leads probably in the next 48 hours. You don't have very many. And so now there's pressure on you and on the business and Bird Dogs to go generate some and get them skip traced. And you'll pull it off, right? Because you're not going to want to let this guy down. Because this could be a unique find. This guy has a really valuable skill set where he knows he already has a real estate background and the sales.
Exactly,
What's so funny, the reason we want the high D is because most of us wake up and feel like a list of 100 numbers and a phone is like a day in hell, right? Like, you got to be kidding. That's work. I don't want to go to that job. That's how I'm wired. That sounds miserable to me. And this guy tells you, he's like, I just love being on the phone. I mean, a bunch of phone numbers – and a phone motivates them to get out of bed in the morning. That's who we're looking for.
Exactly.
I mean, they're out there. They're all over the place.
I'm super excited about him. Told him I had a conversation with him earlier, but I'm get back on the phone with him tonight and just get him set up with the access. I said, show him a couple things around and kind of just let him, you know, go in there and navigate on his own a little bit and kind of figure things out. You know, just click around a little bit. Like I said, I got to get those leads in. So that's gonna be my focus after I get off the phone, finding a couple of quality bird dogs that I can get out there and get started on it.
Absolutely.
Would you recommend if you know kind of just to get them started and give them some workload? Would you kind of recommend maybe getting some of those vacant house leads skip traced and you know fill them up with those to start off with just to let them hit the ground running?
Yep, if you have a skip tracer.
Yep, I already got a skip tracer.
Okay, yes, go into the vacant house lead tool in FreedomSoft. Put in, I want you to go in, put in your city and state, and then click the show advanced, the more advanced search button, and it'll drop down a few more options.
Okay.
Go to the bottom and click out-of-state owners. So that means it's going to say that the tax mailing address is in a different state than the property address, okay? This is all about the percentages. So the chances are even higher with an out-of-state owner that it's a bigger thorn in their side.
Right,
and then
right.
You can there's a drop-down where you're just going to have to write notes on this and it'll make sense when you log in. But the default is going to say older than. Click that drop-down and choose the between dates. and go back a couple years. So go go two, so the two date, the date on the right, go like 12/31, 2016, and then go back and go January 1, 2012 or 13. And so you're pulling a 3 to 4 year range. But what that's saying is the last sale date was between that time frame, and the Postal Service is still showing the property as vacant. So even if it changed hands, right, it was probably an investor that bought it, whatever the case, it changed hands. So there was a sale a couple years ago, and they're still showing it's vacant, right? If you have a property that, you know, the last sale date was 15 days ago and it's still vacant, well, an investor probably bought it and they just haven't done anything with it yet.
Right.
Probably not motivated to sell. They could be, but they're less likely to be motivated than somebody that bought it, right? It changed hands a couple years ago and it's the Postal Service is still showing it's vacant. So put in those two filters.
Absentee owner.
No, don't click absentee because these are vacant, so they should be absentee anyway. Click out of state.
I mean, that's what I meant, out of state. That's what I meant, out of state. Okay.
And that's just a little box that you'll check. And then run that search. And then here's what you're going to tell your VA, and you're going to have to have them go to work and start skip tracing that campaign. And then as soon as your bird dogs are coming in, you fire a message to that VA that says, hey, switch over and do these.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And then when you plan on your sales guy maybe learning some systems tomorrow and getting on the phone Thursday, something like that?
No, I'm getting on the phone with him tonight. And, you know, if he I'm pretty sure he will understand everything. He can get on tomorrow.
So he can be on tomorrow. Okay. So do you have a VA that can work, that will work through the night? I don't know where they're at.
My VA actually works through the night. So usually when I'm asleep, before I go to sleep, me and him message each other. I'll let him know what he's working on. And then by the time I wake up, he's like, I've done this, and this.
So you'll pull that list of vacants in FreedomSoft in 5 minutes.
Yep.
So make sure they have access and you're on the same page. They're working all night. Phone salesperson, you know, talk to him tonight. Get familiar with FreedomSoft a little tomorrow. And he should be on the phone tomorrow.
Absolutely.
That'd be ideal. Cool.
Absolutely.
I'm looking for an update from you on Thursday on people that you're making offers to. That's where this should go. So let that be the expectation.
Okay. I'm definitely shooting for that. Other than that, man, I got you remember I was telling you about the one property that where, you know, it just needed the stove switched out?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I took your advice and kind of lit a fire under my buyer's butt to get that locked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it locked up.
That a boy.
He
put earnest money down?
Yep, I got earnest money. And
he's actually flying
in next Monday. We were scheduled to close that Friday, but he's going to go into the title company, I think Monday or Tuesday, and get his paperwork out the way so we can close early.
Love it. Let me clarify for everybody what happened. So there was a buyer in place. This is a smoking deal, great little property. The only work needed, you know, I asked, how much work does it need? It needs a new stove. So literally, buy a new stove, unplug the old one, plug in the new one, and this thing is rent ready. And so you had found a buyer who said, hey, I think I want it, but I'm going to come, you know, I'll be in town in a couple days. And, you know, you have this thing under contract with a date that you have to perform by, you as buyer. And so our conversation was, you have to get the commitment. Say, listen, either you are my buyer and earnest money gets submitted, or this thing's going to my whole buyer's list and this thing's going to move, because the numbers on this deal are fantastic. So here's the point of this whole thing. Dispositions is just as much sales as acquisitions and your sales team. So when you go to fill dispositions, you want the exact same profile, high D. And all you did is we had a quick conversation on how you're going to close this sale, because even with an established buyer's list, you still got to close. Some of you are wired to close and like to close, and others of you can't stand the thought of it. And so what we did, you know, clearly you were okay with this conversation. You went back and said, hey, here's the reality. It only needs a stove. The numbers are fantastic. If you can't commit to this thing, it's going to the rest of my buyers list. And you closed. And they took it. And so it's not, I think sometimes the perception is out there where I'm going to build a fantastic buyers list. I'm going to send one email or one text message, and somebody's going to ping me back and say, yes, I'll take it. And here's my earnest money. That's not how it works. It will work that way sometimes. But what you need to assume is that you are going to have to close the sale. It's sales on both sides of the wholesale transaction. And that's what you did. So nice job. And now you see how it works. This buyer knows you. This buyer knows you bring good deals. This buyer had cash, and they still needed to be closed. That's how this business works.
And he actually made the comment. He's like, yeah, man, we've been doing, you know, we've just done a couple deals in the past, you know, because he actually came down and met me, flew down and met me. He's like, we built great rapport. And he said, I'm really getting to a point where I'm starting to really trust you now. So, you know, it's, he's like, I trust you enough to, you know, you can send me a picture, give me a price, I can do my research. You know, I'm willing to close on it. So that
love
was
it.
His sign also.
Love it. You're always, whether you're talking to a seller to get a contract or you're talking to a buyer to sell the contract or the property, this business is sales. You guys, all of you, right? And nothing happens in life without sales. And some people say, I hate sales. I hate selling. I don't want to sell anything. I'm telling you, it's a reality. We are selling homeowners on how we can help sellers, and we are selling buyers on this great deal that we bring to the table. So that just is what it is.
Absolutely.
So either, like I said, either you love sales and you can do this, or hire people that do. And I told you guys, my business partner, Paul, I'm high S and C. I am not wired to do sales. Right? I'm not wired to do it. I really don't enjoy it. I can, but I'd rather not. And so Paul, he's off the charts D. He's high D. He's a closer. He's a negotiator. So I was talking a little bit about this $2,500 property that we got a contract back on today. And I told you the script that we use, Paul's the one that delivered it. He's the one that asked the question, what price gets this thing off your mind so you can sleep tonight? And he was the one that closed it. So I know it's a weakness of mine. I bring other strengths to the table. That's a weakness. So Paul gets on the phone with sellers, and he trains our sales guys with sellers because that's what makes sense. Right up his alley. So that goes back to, just the conversation. None of us are good at everything. That's just it. So be good at what you're good at and what you like to do, and bring people on around you that are good at the other stuff, whatever that is. So that's a killer update. When does that deal close?
Like I said, I'm under contract to close next Friday, but he's coming in Monday. So he said he wants to go ahead and get it out the way. I talked to the seller. He may not, because he has to bring his mother-in-law in. He said he may not be able to accommodate coming in early to get the paperwork signed, but he said for sure on the 12th he'll come in. And I already spoke with the title company. She said that we're good to go to get the paperwork signed Monday by the buyer, and the seller can come in Friday.
Okay, so you already have the title commitment back and you're clear? Nothing funky on there, outstanding liens, judgments?
I should have the title commitment complete. I should have that probably by tomorrow or Thursday.
Okay.
I'm not expecting anything at all. Like, it's, I mean,
yeah, maybe. Well, it, there could still be something. Hopefully it's fine. But, you know, you'll talk to people and they say, yeah, I don't own anybody anything. And I'm trying to clear four liens off a lady's title who told me she owned it free and clear.
Right, yeah. I've been through
as we speak. So just things that were never released in the past. So,
I
could throw
a
little wrench. So hopefully it comes back clean.
Yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Yep. Cool. Good stuff. What else? Any other questions?
Other, I think that's pretty much it. Like I said, I'm gonna hit the phones, get on the line with him tonight if he's available, and try to get him set up and
get those leads.
Get him on ASAP. Yeah.
Work out the details as you move forward, but two things are gonna happen. He's gonna get in the middle of good conversations, so it's immediately gonna say, you know, these leads are legit. This is for real. So you want to build that belief, and then, I mean, you guys will have conversations about this stuff right out of the gate. I mean, I'm looking for, same with you, a good update on Thursday on, hey, phone salesperson hit the phone Wednesday, and here we are, Thursday afternoon. So.
Sounds good.
Beautiful. Tell your sales guy that. You know, explain the two leads, field leads, postal service leads. Field leads are always going to trump postal service. That's plan B.
Okay.
So let
them
know.
I'll definitely explain all that to them.
How many field leads do you have skip traced?
Like probably 45 maybe.
Okay. That keeps him busy for a couple days.
Right, exactly.
I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, pull some postal service leads tonight and have them skip trace, but ideally, because you said you're going to contact Bird Dogs tonight, if you get somebody that can go drive tomorrow and then your skip tracer can go to work again tomorrow night, you hopefully won't have to use them and go right to field leads because that's still your best bet.
Okay.
All day, every day. So.
Definitely.
Have them ready, but see if you can coordinate this the next 48 hours where you don't need them.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
I'll shoot for that.
Good stuff. Same. You're right there. Leads are teed up. Salesperson in line. Just a matter of phone calls going out.
Yeah.
That's it. Cool. Who else?
All right, can I chime in again, it's Lee?
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, both of my markets, my New Orleans market and my Arkansas market, it's virtual.
Yep.
So should I go out and call up some title companies in those areas also? Or?
Yeah, no, yes, but don't call title companies. Get a hold of the buyers that I think you said you've been talking to. I lose track a little bit of who's doing what, right, with all these updates. But go to buyers, and when you find a buyer that you know is legit because they bought X number of properties in 2017, say, hey, who's your investor-friendly title company in town, and who's your favorite closer there? Don't waste any time interviewing title companies. Go right to the local buyers who know, and they will tell you.
Cool. Gotcha.
Yeah, you'll find so if you already know a buyer and you've had a conversation, just shoot them a text. Say, hey, who's your investor-friendly title company there in town?
Yeah, it makes sense because here in Dallas, a lot of my buyers, they like to use their own title companies. You know, hey, I want to go to this guy, go there. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yep.
That's it.
I'll tell you what we're doing, too, and I didn't think this was doable, but I've got my favorite title company here in Denver and obviously working out of state. And so recently I shot an email. It just dawned on me. And the gal that owns it, her name's Erin, and I fired her an email and said, hey, can you pull title in these other markets? And she owns the company, and she goes, I'm not sure. Let me check. She shot me an email back later that afternoon that said, I don't know what happened, but she said first of the year we can. So that contract that came in today, I sent to the a title company here in Denver that I've been working with for a long time, and they can just manage it all from here. So that's another option. And Erin, I've got a relationship with her, and so does Paul. We both used her for many, many years, closed a bunch of transactions, rock solid, knows what we do. Here's the other thing. She's owned this title company for a while, and I know she makes great money. And so here's how I did this. I shot her an email, it's easier to ask through somebody for private money as opposed to asking them, hey, do you have any money that you want to lend, right? It's softer if you do know anybody who may be interested in. And so my intent was to see if she'd be interested in being a private lender of ours. But I didn't ask her directly. I asked through her, and I said, hey, here's what Paul and I are doing in these other markets, turnkey rentals, blah, blah, blah. I said, two questions. Do you know any landlord buyers who would be interested in out-of-state turnkey rentals? And do you know anybody who would be interested in lending money? We pay between 10 and 15% based on a few different arrangements with this, right? Do you know? She shoots me an email back about 7 minutes later. It came back pretty quick. And she goes, hey, Mike, this sounds like fun. She said, I'll get my feelers out for any landlords. And she goes, can you give me some more details on the private lending piece? I may be interested, exclamation point. So imagine that. So she and I are having a conversation Thursday at 1:30 about her being a private lender of ours.
That's cool.
So that's how I set that up, just side note.
Gotcha.
Anyway. Go through the person, and, you know, they may just come back and say, what about me? I want to be involved. But your title companies and your closers, they know all the players in town because they see their faces all the time, right?
True.
Same fix and flip investors, same landlord investors. They're connected. So that, you know, that's not rocket science. That's just putting a little thought into who knows, right? I know some people and I'll reach out to them, but who do I know who knows who would know the people that I'm looking for? So anyway, any other questions?
That's it for me.
Yeah, go to your buyers for title.
Hey, Mike, this is Ryan again.
Yeah.
Hey, the guy that's actually buying this deal from me next week, he's he had throughout kind of a proposition when he was here. He said, you know, he does some things with a guy in Texas where he, you know, he funds everything. He funds the acquisition and the repair, and they just,
yep,
you know, basically just split it 50-50.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've never set up, like, private funding and everything like that. Is it just on a deal-by-deal basis where they're just, like, the first lien holder? I'm sure it's much more complex than that, but.
It doesn't have to be a whole lot. Yeah, a lot of times it's just note and deed of trust, like Chase Bank. If you buy a house and have a mortgage on it, yeah. Note and deed of trust. The note can be anything. Whatever two people assign and agree to, that can be a note. You can pull them, you know, just from online. Sometimes private lenders will have a note that they like to use, and you can, you know, check it out and agree to it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then all you have to do at closing is just tell title company, you know, send it to them, say, hey, here's our note. Can you prepare the deed of trust for us? And they'll put it together right off the note. You don't have to know really anything about a deed. Of trust. So,
but usually how does that usually work with the, you know, with the repairs and everything like that? Does the title company usually just do draws or something like that? Do they usually
Well, it depends. It depends. So either the private lender is just going to fund over enough for the purchase. They're just going to wire over enough for the purchase. They can, let's say you're buying a house for 15 and fix up is 10. The private lender can, if they trust you with the funds, they can wire 25 to the closing and you'll walk from closing with 10 grand. So it really just depends on who controls the money. If they're in on it with you 50-50, they probably just wire the money for the closing, and then whoever's doing the construction is going to submit draws and they'll take care of them and pay them. And then you split it up at the end. So let me tell you how you do this. If you're going to go 50-50 with the lender, you say, yeah, I can do 50-50. Here's how you do this is you get the property tied up for 10 with one of your entities, double close it or wholesale it. And here's what the lender has to understand. You got to tell them, hey, I'll go 50-50 with you, but we've got to feed the goose that's laying the golden eggs here, and that's my acquisitions company. So my acquisitions company is accustomed to making $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 per transaction to keep that business moving. That's what we're accustomed to getting. Are you good with that? Great. So I don't even hide. There's no need to hide it. You have to, and they need to understand that. Without the acquisitions company, there's no deal.
Exactly.
So the way that works is you probably have two entities. One of them is either going to assign or double close it to your other entity. Let's call it entity A and B. A is the acquisitions entity. B will be the renovation or the ownership entity. Entity B is what the private lender is going to fund.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in partnership with B, and then A is going to make, you know, probably an assignment fee. That would be ideal because you don't have to double close it. Assignment fee, and then company B buys it. Company A got paid, which means you just got paid. You can keep, pay your salesperson, pay for the leads, bird dog acquisitions, that whole thing. And then fix the property up, sell it, and split it 50-50. But when you run the numbers like that, it'll look more like 60-40, 70-30 in your favor overall on the deal.
Right.
That's how you handle that.
That's super killer. Yeah, I'm definitely.
So, yeah,
I haven't done a fix and flip yet, but it's definitely on my goal sheet for 18.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, man. You have a buyer that has that, and here's the crazy part, right? We were just talking about this 20 minutes ago. Why do you build a big buyer's list? Because you're going to find private lenders in it. You're going to find partners in it. It's your network, and you're talking to this buyer, and he says, "Oh, by the way, I've got a guy that'll fund these for us." That's exactly how it's supposed to work and why you keep building a buyer's list.
Absolutely.
Because those relationships are going to come out. I mean, once your buyer's list is starting to grow, it is absolutely okay to send out a broadcast email, however you want to do it. Make it real personal. It's going to say, "Hey, Ryan, hey, Joe, hey, Sally, you know, I've had you on my buyer's list for a while now. You wouldn't happen to do any private lending, would you?" And just open up the conversation. What do buyers have? Money. Yeah. So a lot, it's not always, but a lot of times buyers will do both and. They'll buy for themselves and they'll lend money. So, yeah, that's why we're always working on that buyer's list. That's your network.
Absolutely.
Yep. Good stuff.
Ooh.
What else? Good call here, by the way, with all of you to kick off the new year here. I love it.
Hey, Mike.
It's 2018. Yeah, who just chimed in?
Janie, I have another question.
Yes.
Quite a few of our leads back skip traced.
Okay.
And I had one or two that came up with a bank, that it was owned by the bank. What do you do with those?
I put them, create a status or put them in a not motivated pile for later. You want to talk to homeowners. Now, if you've got some downtime and maybe you have a salesperson working and you or Larry want to jump on the phone and try and make a bank connection, you know, knock yourself out, get the other pieces in play. And then if you guys as owners want to go after some bigger corporate level relationships, I'm all for it. Cause you know, you can certainly buy deals that way. But for now, call Stellars, call individual owner sellers. Focus there and start there.
Okay.
Yep. But, yeah, you're going to come across all that stuff because, you know, you're going to come across a lot of times these bigger cities have an entity in the government that will reclaim properties. Sometimes they do things with them. Sometimes they'll knock them over, right, and they just currently own the vacant house, right? They've reclaimed it or taking back ownership of it. So you're going to come across all the above. So sort through those leads, focus on the individual name homeowners. Number two would be where it's a company name, an LLC, not Chase Bank, not City of Detroit, something like that. And your skip tracers, right? One of the conversations is, because that's a little bit different skill. When you go to skip trace John Doe at this address in a tool like LexisNexis, you just put in the name and the location and hit search, and it'll pull back the data. If you go to skip trace, 123 Development LLC, that takes a little more time online. And so, like, for instance, I've got an ad out on Upwork for a skip tracer, and a guy got back to me today, and he said he charges 75 cents per individual record, 60 per individual record, and $1 per corporate entity. And so that's what he's referring to. If it's a person's name, 60 cents. And I thought those were a little high, so he and I are in negotiation right now, but that's what he's referring to. So he knows how to skip trace both, and that's what you want in your VA, because if you're going to come across these LLCs that have investors behind them that, you know, sometimes buy boatloads of properties. You absolutely want their contact info so you can talk to whoever it is making the buy decision at that company. Put the banks on the back burner and local government entities.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, great question, by the way. Great question. And the reason we do that is because the sellers are most likely to be motivated to sell. LLCs, or a business entity behind it, is likely an investor, not always, but likely. So I'm not saying they're not motivated to sell, but, you know, the chances are higher that they know what to do with the vacant house as opposed to the person who inherited it or bought it 4 years ago and had this plan, but it never worked out. The homeowner that's, you know, I bought this for my son to live in, my daughter to live in. They moved out. House has been vacant since. I can't pay the property taxes. We're always going to the highest percentage that this seller has motivation. That's why. So great question. And the banks have deep pockets. So they may want to sell a deal, but they're not losing any sleep over it. Right? Not to say that you can't or won't ever buy deals from banks, but.
Well, you can buy deals from banks if it's the end of the quarter and they're having to get all those loans off.
That's
their,
it. But, yeah, that's it. But that, other than that, motivation tends to be whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to go where motivation is highest. What's that?
Two observations. Tonight's a full moon, and there'll be a full moon the 30th this month, so twice in 1 month or whatever. So
cool.
Anybody looking outside, it's a gorgeous moon. And the second, cool. We're in Athens, Georgia, home of the University of Georgia Bulldogs. We just killed.
Uh-oh. You guys let Clemson have it, didn't you?
No, we killed Oklahoma and their Golden Boy Heisman Trophy.
That was the 54-48 game.
That was it.
Baker Mayfield.
Okay, that's right. Where they apparently both defenses didn't even get on the bus or the plane to make the trip, huh?
Well, the offenses were good. Mayfield is a spectacular quarterback.
Yeah.
He made his average receivers look good till we counted at halftime because he had this funny thing where he'd look one way and throw the other because he had lost the time in the backfield. And when we put the rush on him, he didn't have that time, and he lost it.
You guys are fired up.
Oh, we're fired up. But tickets are – the post tickets are $2,500 for the national champ. $2,500. I saw one ticket going for $17,500.
Here's what you do. Flip a house, buy two tickets for
flip
you
a
and
ticket.
Mrs.
I might have to flip a ticket.
Right, that's what I was just about to say.
Flip a ticket. Hey, congratulations. Big game here on the 8th. I thought it was interesting that the 3 and 4 seeds made it over the 1 and 2 seeds in that playoff thing. So,
oh, yeah.
The underdog shines.
And all those other little bitty conferences. Out of the last 12 national championships, 9 have been from the SEC. I'll leave it at that.
That's funny. Good stuff. You guys are fired up.
Yeah, buddy.
We here in Denver with our Broncos, we're singing a different tune this time of year. So.
Oh, man, it's a bad year to be a Broncos. Ouch.
That's okay.
Hey, Mike, I'm with you, man. I'm a Broncos fan, too, man, so I'm over here.
Are you really?
Yeah, man.
Nice. Yeah. I was down to the end. I was watching that game, that last game, and my wife's saying, man, they stink this year. Why are you even watching? I was like, because I'm a fan. I like watching
them. Right, man. Yep. You need to go holler at John Elway, man. Tell him to get us a quarterback.
We need one bad.
Oh,
we need one. Yep, and I got to bring this back to the topic because I'm interested in this one. Way to go, Larry! Way to derail the train.
Yeah, I derailed that one. You know, you got to add a little bit of pleasure to this thing. Too intense to kill you.
Hey, I like that about this call. We can talk about all things. We're just people doing life and doing real estate together. So I'm all for these off topics. I think it's fun.
Yeah,
I was. Larry Allen's not on the call tonight. He shot me an email today and said, hey, man, I'm out of town. I'm not going to be able to make it. If he chimes in and listens, he's a huge Clemson fan. So I think he's having a rough day.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. They got beat up.
Yeah. I was a Broncos fan in 1970. I was stationed out there from 70 to 71.
Yeah.
The old stadium, and it was really, you know, Denver was a cow town.
Yep.
So it was a whole lot different. I had a friend leave the stadium, coming back to the base. He got mugged, and the guy took all his money, was holding it to it. He reached out and snatched some of the money back, says, I'm not going to freeze to death. I need bus fare. And the guy let him go.
Unbelievable. Yeah, home of the reasonable criminals here in Denver. I like that.
That was like, you know, the guy had a little compassion.
he's like, yeah, you're right. I'm robbing you, but here's a little something extra. Get something to eat. Take your That's a crazy story. Yeah, Denver's, I don't know how many times it's grown over there. Now it's just it's one big traffic jam. That's it.
Oh. When I was there, Stapleton was a new airport, and it was way out in the boonies. Imagine that.
Yeah. Stapleton's right in the heart of it. Now we do have an airport that's out in the boonies, but they're building out towards that, so it's outrageous what it's gone to. Anyway. Cool place to live, miserable place to drive.
Well, I saw something online there, something about a March conference with y'all. A March conference, 3-day conference, seminar.
Yeah, I'm not aware that Rob has scheduled one this for 2018, but I can double check.
It may have been a older one, but I was just going through some of the videos and stuff.
Yeah,
the audio.
I would think it's from years past. He keeps me in the loop on that stuff pretty good, so I haven't heard of anything lately, but. Any final questions, updates? You know, like I said, killer first call of the year here. I love it. A lot of good things popping.
Well, I was reading through the contracts in Module 4, and
okay.
I'm kind of, well, I won't say sharp enough to pick up most stuff, but that stuff kind of rolled over my head, a bunch of it. So I guess I'm going to have to take the contracts apart and circle them and do whatever it needs to be done so it's applicable, because great contracts, what I was saying, how they apply to each different application. But you'll
it's
probably
really,
a lot of,
yeah, it's really, there's one general in there and there's one with a kick out. And the kick out is really if you have a non-exclusive marketing agreement on a property. So maybe you're talking to a landlord that owns a property, and they're currently trying to find a tenant, and you say, hey, would you consider selling? And they'd say, yeah, I consider it. I'm not going to take it off the market to sell it, though. And you'd say, cool, let's get this contract in place. It's got a little kick-out clause. If you rent it before I can sell it, then that's what happens. But if we get this in place, at least I can go put some marketing out there and see if I can find a buyer for you. Other than that, it's really that that one contract in there. And here's the thing, everybody, is, you know, we have to be careful talking about contracts because we're not attorneys. What we can do is put that one on the website and say, this is the one we use. You know, are there different scenarios that come in? Yeah. And I'll tell you how we've always done it is we just – it's a Word document. So we just type it in and see if two people, you know, if both parties agree to it and sign it, rock and roll. And then we always have to – anytime this topic comes up, we have to throw out that disclaimer of, you know, consult your local experts and get with a real estate attorney, right? Because we can't give advice on it and that kind of thing. So – Larry, if you have general questions on it, I can answer with here's what we have done in the past.
I understand the disclaimer. It was great information, particularly on the one that you're buying a rental and you make your commission and the owner wants to put stipulation. You know, those kind of things is what I've always done. Just put an extra line and, you know, specific. Make the seller feel good, whether it means anything or not.
Yep. That's similar to what we've done, because there's going to be different. Or here's one that's pretty common is you'll buy a property and they'll say, yeah, but it's tenant occupied, so you can buy it. This tenant's leaving, XYZ, so you can't turn anything over. I want to protect them for the next 2 months, and then, you know, they'll be out by X date. Okay, great. Put it in the contract.
Yeah.
And something like that. That just has a little something extra to it. So, yeah, just write it in, and then, like I have to, say, you know, consult your legal expert so you know what you're signing.
I like the part on that where it rolled over every 30 days unless both parties put a stop to it, or one party, each one, so you're not having to renegotiate.
That is the stock contract, obviously, with some nuances that Rob uses. I mean, we've told all of you when you come on board, he doesn't pull any punches with this group and what we're willing to share. So you ask a question, you'll get it. And that's the same one that he uses. That's the one I send out. I've got an even simpler one that we use from time to time as well. That's just a one page. I mean, it's really basic, but that gets the job done too. So at the end of the day, like I said, if two people sign it and agree to it, rock and roll.
Well, remember, I had one that I have an assignment, turned it over with. It was a lot of thing a month ago, getting it going. It was due to mature on the 12th. They had to close. Those people called me and said, can we push it back 2 weeks?
Right.
And I said, well, I don't know. But they said, we can offer them an extra $5,000 earnest money if you push it back 2 weeks, and we'll pay your commission on the 12th. And I thought, I'll do that.
Yep. Giddy up. That stuff happens.
Yeah.
Well, so, it's a good part to pay me, and whether they close or not, I'm still good.
Right. You're covered. Absolutely. So, yeah, you know, when that stuff happens, if and when, bring it to the group. We'll talk it through. Like I said, we cannot give legal advice. We're not qualified to. We can talk about ways we've handled many of those situations in the past. So. Yeah, good stuff. So you just basically amended the contract, which real estate agents do and attorneys do, and that, you know, that's part of the gig.
Yeah. Get them to sign it and go along forward with it.
You got it. Any other questions? We, you know, as always, try and keep this to 90 minutes. We've got a few minutes left here. I want to make sure we get everything answered and that we're all clear on where we're going here. I know it's going to be another short week. We'll do office hours again on Thursday, and then next week we'll go back to our regular Monday-Thursday schedule. So just get back into the normal routine here.
One question.
Anything?
Is there a problem if I bring my acquisition person to listen to a conference call?
No. I would prefer that you all, you know, kind of drive the conversation and that kind of thing, but to have your team chime in, somebody valuable like that, have them call in.
Okay.
Yep. We want to help train your team. I want that story that we're going to schedule, right? So If it's a little bit easier to have somebody, you know, not play telephone with them on a certain topic, all for it.
Sounds good.
Yep. All right, everybody. Looks like that's a wrap. So, yeah, thanks for making it on here. Happy New Year, everyone. Look forward to, you know, just getting this year kicked off. There's a lot of good activity going on, which is right where we want things. So keep your feet on the gas. Have a great afternoon, evening, morning, wherever you're at on the planet. And we'll chat here in a couple days. Make it happen over the next 48 hours. And look for some good updates on Thursday, all right?
Okay. Talk to you Thursday.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Sounds good. Thank you.